So Dan and I just walk back into the house, right? So basically what has happened, let me set the scene for you. Next door to my house, I live in a 3 or 4 story condo building, and the building next to us is a home. It's like an old house. It's run down. Nobody lives in it anymore. It was just recently sold, maybe 2 or 3 months back, and nobody's lived in it. I think some developers purchased it. Well, the other night, I noticed some lights. I heard some noise. Somebody was living and staying in this house. There's some garbage out in the back door where the sliding doors are.
And so Cody went to snitch.
So I went to snitch. So I called the police department today, right? And I said, what do I do about this situation? Because honestly, like, I'm worried about my neighbors, Dan. I'm worried about, like, my garbage. These guys sift through our garbage. And the thing is normally our houses, our building's pretty locked off. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my neighbors don't lock where they throw the garbage. So what happens is from the garbage, you can actually gain access into the whole building.
Right.
So that makes me a little nervous, right? Mm-hmm. These are desperate people, probably.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Do you remember, though, when I tried to get a homeless person away from our place in Van Nuys?
No, what had happened?
I called the cops.
Okay.
And I was like, they got camp right outside of the gate, and they can gain access anytime that we drive through. And they were like, sorry. Can't do anything about that.
Yeah, but if they're in a house, like if they're on the sidewalk, there's nothing you can do about it. But in a house, it's a whole other ballgame.
Yeah, when they're in there, it's different, I guess.
Yeah,
or you're just a better wordsmith on the phone.
I suppose. I don't know what it is. I mean, so I called them, and then the woman basically said, "Well, are they in the house right now?" And I said, "Well, I'm not at home." And then the woman on the phone said, "Well, okay," and I'm like, so what do I do? She's like, call back when they're in the house. I said, okay, thanks a lot. So
okay, bye-bye.
I got off the phone and we just were outside. The cops had come to the location. I didn't call.
Right.
Somebody else had called, I guess.
They say tipped them off.
Somebody must have tipped them off, but there was nobody in their hands, like nobody in their arms. So
they searched the joint, though.
They did.
They got, man, L.A., baby.
L.A., baby.
L.A. Times.
Things are crazy up in L.A. If you're just sitting down to listen to the Dan and Cody podcast, welcome, because it's episode 99.
If you're having podcast problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I got 99 pounds, but a...
99 podcasts.
Oh, we killed that.
I got 99 podcasts, but a bitch ain't one.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
A toy boat. Toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
This episode of the Dan and Cody podcast is brought to you by Studio Headphones. Guys, if you want to combine tech and style, check out Studio. Head to their link in our show notes and enter the code DNK for 15% off your order plus free shipping. Or just go to studiosweden.com.
I mean, honestly, Dan, like 100's supposed to feel really good.
Yeah.
Right? But I got to say something. 99
the
feels
last.
Pretty good.
It feels real good. It
feels so good. Like to know that we're there. I feel like I've ascended a mountain and I'm right about to the peak.
We're on the cusp.
We're on the cut. We are literally seeing the top. We're 7 steps away.
Yeah.
Now, just so people know, steps are viewed in our world, in our timeline, as days.
We're on Mount Everest, and we're at like that third day when people start dying.
That's right. That's right. We're running out of oxygen, and Dan and I didn't bring tanks.
No tanks.
We're tankless. Dan's wearing a bra.
Yeah.
And I am wearing a very tight leather jacket.
Borrowed.
That's right. I can't afford it.
You can't afford that. No. But yeah, we're like right there. This is our last podcast in double digits.
It's our last podcast in double digits.
Yeah.
And next week's going to be our first podcast in
triple digits. But like, It's like an NBA season, you know? That's 82 games.
So what are you saying to me?
I mean, like, I'm in the game. Like, I'm playing a season, you know?
All right.
The questions we need to ask ourselves. A lot of podcasts now call themselves, like, they're starting to do, like, season one or season two.
These are people that tell stories. We don't have seasons, Dan. You want to know why? Because we're committed year-round.
We just got sods.
That's right.
We just got epis.
We do. We got episodes. Like, this is our way. I don't care about everybody else's way, Dan Hill.
We're like...
I care about our way.
We're like Full House. What's a show that has like a shitload of episodes? Just like mountains.
Grey's Anatomy.
Family Ties.
I don't know about that.
Cosby Show.
Maybe. I mean, you got to think of shows that have gone on for like The Simpsons.
Simpsons
probably, it's the longest running of all time. It's 30 years.
General Hospital.
Yeah, you're talking about daytime TV. They don't go by episodes though, do they?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Dude, you want to... Like, soap operas? Soap opera work schedule? Holy shit. Like, you thought live theater was demanding. That? Like, you thought that was, what's it called? Job security. Like, every single day those guys are shooting.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, they're running through that pretty quickly.
Like, the script is hot from the printer.
Yeah, yeah, and they're changing it on set.
And they're like, go. You got like two takes.
Yeah.
Or your scene is cut. Basically. Or you die. Like, just kill him.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
Yeah, we're a soap opera.
We're the soap opera of podcasts.
We are the soap opera of podcasts.
Okay. I can live with that.
Not like these eight seasons.
Personally, I think
eight episode seasons.
You're watching a little too much Melrose Place.
Oh man!
To like put us in that like kind of
I'm in spectrum. That world,
I don't
bro.
Know if that's fair, you know?
No, it's not fair. Until we swap wives or something.
No wife swapping. My wife would be so pissed.
Oh, Jenny would be so thrilled. Wait. Oh man!
Oh, teardrops from heaven. You had a busy weekend.
I had a busy weekend, man. We road tripped it up to San Fran to see our producer.
Oh.
See Uncle Michael and Aunt Julie.
Michael Tabular.
Yeah. He's up in the Sausalitos.
Sausalitos area. You get lost up in those woods.
Those Litos are saucy.
Was he affected by the fires?
He was not.
Good.
He was not affected. Man, it's cold up there. You forget. People in Maryland, like people in D.C., people in the East, we live in big states, you know? We're in a big state.
California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you drive 5 hours from Maryland and you're in like New York.
Yeah.
You drive 5 hours in California, your ass is still in California.
Yes.
It's a big fucking state.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, The people who made states just got real lazy.
Yeah, yeah, it was just a group of guys.
They just figured.
They just looked at the map. They're like, you know, this is a good state. As they moved further west, they were just like, so many lines on the east side. Let's
make a box.
Absolutely.
Make a box.
Wyoming.
Cut that bitch in half.
That looks like a Colorado to me.
Yeah, they just got progressively bigger. I don't know if it worked. But like, I feel like California is so cool because it can... Like you could break it up into,
multiple states.
Like it does. Like San Fran does not feel like L.A. You know,
no, not at all, not at all.
Bakersfield does not feel like San Fran.
No,
no, don't.
No.
And then like Sacramento, very different.
Yeah,
it's all
Sacramento's kind of, you know, it's different, but it's, you know.
Yeah, it's so cold out there in San Francisco.
I miss it, man. I love that weather. Love that weather.
Those hills are frightening.
Why, did they have faces on them?
No.
Like scary faces, Dan? You don't like scary faces.
They had eyes.
They had eyes in those hills.
The hills had eyes.
Ooh.
We I used to live in San Francisco when I was a kid.
What happened?
We left.
Okay, well, that's a good story.
Yeah.
I hope our listeners enjoyed that.
It was nostalgic. We took Moxie to the condo my dad rented for the short time we lived there.
Really? Do you remember it?
We sat her on the steps.
Or were you too young?
It was between first and second grade that summer. We road tripped to San Fran. My dad had some kind of job. We stayed there for like weeks and weeks.
So you kind of remember it?
Yeah. Like I remember we went to the ice cream place, Swenson's, when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
There was this comic book place that I loved. I still have comics from that place. And I remember... going up and down those hills. Just those like inclines were ridiculous.
Definitely.
And I had a little motorcycle, a pretend motorcycle that I called my baby.
Oh, wow.
That I would ride around.
Very nice.
Everyone else would walk and I'd be like, I'm on my baby.
Yeah, I'm on my baby.
Yeah.
I'm six.
Yeah.
Where's that kid's
parents?
But I
remember that. I remember that. I remember going to Alcatraz. So I have a connection to San Fran.
Okay. Well, you're connected.
It's a treat.
It's a beautiful town. If anybody listening's never been, give it a chance. It's definitely one of the best cities, if not the best city on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's dope.
It's pretty amazing. It really is. I
couldn't live there,
though. It's contained. You don't need a car if you live in San Francisco. Yeah.
They have great public transportation.
Great public transportation because they have to.
They got these new things called scoots.
What are they?
It's you know what zip cars are?
Yeah.
It's basically zip cars, but they're all mopeds. Oh, and you could just pick one up. You fucking swipe your card, $4, 6 hours. Something like
zipping
that.
Around. You're scooting, as they say.
Yeah, everyone's got a scoot. They have a small helmet and a large helmet.
Okay, very nice.
You got a medium head? Fuck you.
Okay, too bad. You better hold on for dear life.
As Michael Rappaport would say, you done, Duke.
You done, Duke.
Duke, you fucked up, Duke.
Madeline and I are in house purchase mode.
Oh, shit.
Yep, so we went to like 10 open houses.
Oh, shit.
So that's happening right now.
That is so fun and sucky.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see how that plays out.
That sort of stuff is fun, but it sucks.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's a learning process. You know, we were really kind of diving into it last year, and we just decided to hold off. And now it's like, you know, our lease is up in a couple months, and it's time to plant some seeds. You know what I'm saying, man?
You coming up?
Roots in the ground.
You coming up to the SCV?
We're going to try and avoid it like the plague.
Let's do this. Let's be neighbors.
But there could be a possibility if things fall short here.
Well, here's hoping for the shortest. If you move a little more north, we could do twice a week.
I will be moving a little more north.
We could do twice.
But I won't be. I don't think I'll be moving San Fernando like... out of the sand. I mean, I'll still be like Van Nuys,
Sherman Oaks,
Glen Valley, Sherman Oaks, North Hollywood area. I'll still be there.
Okay.
I mean,
let's get you in Sun Valley.
Maybe.
Let's get you in Chatsworth.
No, man, that's way too far.
Let's get you by all the winners. No, Justin and Chrissy.
It's just too far, man. It's way too far.
Movie geeks.
We drove over to the 405 and we drove like Lake Balboa area.
Yeah.
You know what that is, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we looked over there and I'm just like, wow, I just feel like we're millions of miles away from anything, right?
You're not, though, man. You know how long it took me to get here?
Where? From Prop Store?
From my work, yeah.
No, I've drive that drive. That drive's quick.
27 minutes.
It's quick.
Nothing.
It's quick when there's no traffic.
Yeah, you're throwing a
you're
podcast.
You're going, and especially when you're coming from Valencia, traffic's going the other way, Dan.
Yeah.
People aren't.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
So you can move up there.
No, man, trust me. We have some faves in that area that we've looked at. Like there's your house.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go over, you know how there's that road, like you get off Via Princesa.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn right. And you get to that first light, and you make a left, and there's all those houses up there.
Yeah.
Be one of those houses.
Yeah. Those are dope.
But there's like, the problem is like, we end up getting in a really big house that's pretty cheap relative to the market.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are we going to do with all that space?
You're going to put children in there, Cody.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be like pushing out babies.
You're going to put Maddie's doggy in there.
Madeline would get a dog if we got a house. That's just the facts of the matter.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then we give the fans what they want. Twice a week.
A show.
DNKs.
Dual Dan. We'll get to up to 200 too fast.
Double the action. Superfan Sarah is calling you out again. She got no proof of you crumping. And now is requesting proof that you're in a band.
Oh. Did she not look it up?
She didn't look. She might have looked it up.
The Exposure has a fan page. On Facebook.
Oh, really?
It's called The Exposure. Sarah, can I say something? Don't call me out unless you do your homework, sister. I'll destroy you in a battle.
She messaged me and was like, Cody says he does a lot of things and I need proof.
Well, actually, I sent you a Halloween picture of me and the band, and you never did anything.
Yeah, because I was like, I wanted to pair like me young Halloween with you young Halloween.
Yeah. No, this is we had a band called The Exposure, and I am actually sending this to Dan right now.
The Exposure.
If you look up The Exposure on Facebook, you're gonna find all you need, and there's me from my Halloween photo.
I just did The Exposure, and I got private investigators.
You did?
28,000 likes.
Really?
Yeah.
DH, what the heck, man? New message. Let's do Dan Hill.
Oh, June 24th, 2010. Cody Frederick makes a Facebook post about The Exposure.
Yeah, not only do I make a Facebook post about...
Oh, there's video!
Is there video?
Yes. Sarah, I'm a little disappointed in you now, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no proof. Trust me, Sarah. There's proof out on the interwebs. You just need to know the key words.
Yes.
To make it work.
All right. I'm sharing one of these videos. Faux show.
Okay. You share one of those videos.
Faux show.
Dan and Cody, you know, that happened. The Exposure. Handy J's in there. And me and two of my other buddies are in there. And it was magical times.
Magic times.
Anyway. So
I want to give a shout out.
You know what? I got a problem. She's calling me out. Like, I'm all of a sudden emotionally charged right now.
She, like, we got no proof of you crumping. You say you're a crumper. People want to know.
Sarah lives Midwest, right?
They don't want to just take you by your word.
She lives Midwest?
I'm not sure.
Maybe. Fine. Where does this woman live?
Where do you live, Sarah?
Sarah.
Like,
I think I follow her on Instagram, right?
I think so.
I don't even know. I think I follow her on Instagram. If it's the same Sarah, I think I know she lives in the Midwest. She's a big fan of Joe and Phil on those movie guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I know this girl. Okay.
Not Midwest, though. East Coast.
She's more East?
Mm-hmm.
She's in Michigan's Midwest, bro.
Massachusetts.
Is she Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she's a New England girl.
Her address is...
her telephone number is... Let me tell you something, Sarah. I'm in a somersault across the country, and then I'm going to knock on your door, and I'm going to give you an autographed CD of The Exposure that's never been made. I'm totally kidding. I'm not going to do this. This is insane.
This anyway, is a threat.
This no, I'm is not a threat. But yeah. The Exposure, check us out. We have some great hits. Lady Luck's the big one. But, you know, you decide,
man.
Anyway, so yeah. Anyway, what were you going to say, Dan, before I got really hot and heavy? Because this girl's, what's she throwing? Shade?
A little shade.
She's throwing some shade my way.
Throwing a little shade.
Nobody throws shade my way.
She's just trying to check your oil, you know?
Okay, my oil is checked.
I got
another 7,000 miles.
We host on Simplecast, and Simplecast is awesome. And they rolled out this whole like map thing that I'm obsessed with. Downloads like where we're being listened to, which is great. So I just wanted to I'm gonna try to do this like every podcast. I'll highlight a state and shout them out.
And now you wanna thing do that about too? This, just so everybody knows,
it's
this
the past is, 3 weeks.
It's beta.
Yeah.
Okay. It's beta, and what that means is like we don't know if this is right. So we're gonna pick a place where we've been getting some love.
Getting some action.
And like...
I like North Carolina this week.
You like North Carolina this week? Yeah, North Carolina is blowing up this week.
Rally, what's up?
What's up, Rally? Charlotte.
Charlotte, we love you.
We miss the Bobcats, but we understand why you went back to the Hornets.
Those two lovely downloads in Winston-Salem. How you doing? Howdy do?
Hey, what's up, Greensboro? Understand your pain. Thanks.
Yep. Matthews, North Carolina. Didn't know you existed. I know now. We see you.
We hear you.
We hear you.
Anyway.
And
Charlotte's big, man. We got 80 downloads in Charlotte.
Indian Trail, North Carolina. I see you.
I hear you.
And I love you. Is that all in NC?
Yeah. What's great is on this map they have Kitty Hawk. Nobody from Kitty Hawk has downloaded us, but that's not surprising because it's tough because not a lot of people live in Kitty Hawk. But Kitty Hawk is where they were testing the first airplanes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the well, it was the what the hell is it called? The Brothers.
The Brothers.
Yeah, I was reading that book and I totally forgot their names.
The Brothers.
Yeah.
Menendez?
No, the Wright brothers, man. The Menendez brothers. Wright brothers didn't kill their parents. Oh my god. Anyway, it was the Wright brothers.
And you holding down your home state.
Yeah, I know. I got like nobody from Idaho listens to us.
Blackfoot, I see you.
I see you. Thanks, Mom.
Two downloads. Come
Thanks,
on.
Thanks, Mom.
Seven in Boise.
Oh, really? That's throwing flash.
Anyway. And three in Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Yeah, well, you know.
You're holding it down. Maryland's blowing up, though.
Maryland's crazy. Maryland looks like smallpox.
What's up? What's up, Frostburg? Stand up! Playoff bound.
Frostburg's playoff bound.
Maybe the first time ever. I don't know. But we got invited to the big dance.
The big show.
The D3 playoffs.
Yes.
For the championship.
Yes.
They only lost one game this year. Frostburg State.
Wow.
Berg State, baby.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
All right, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of this stuff, man. No more of this jazz.
Hello there, Dank Odies. This is Joe Merle.
I'm Phil.
And we are Those Movie Guys Podcast with your weekly movie recommendations. And Phil, this week I'm going with 1979's Alien, the Ridley Scott classic. I think it's a beautiful mix of horror and sci-fi. The special effects still hold up for the most part to this day. Sometimes it is clearly a man in a suit, but you know what? That's what you did in 1979.
Very, very Lemmy.
But one of the greatest, strongest female heroines of all time, the birth of Ripley, man. I think Alien is something everybody should watch. If you can get your hands on the director's cut, definitely check it out. Give it a go. Phil, what do you got for us this week?
I went with 1993's Tombstone, Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer. It's a movie that I can't pass it. If I'm flipping through stations trying to decide what I'm going to throw on and I see it there, it doesn't matter where it's at, I put it on. It's got good ratings. It's a great story. Wyatt Earp's always strong.
Amazing. Doc Holliday, one of Val Kilmer's best performances,
best
hands
ever.
Down, of all time, one of the greatest characters. I'm with you in that one, that if Tombstone is on, I am going to be sitting and I'm going to watch Tombstone for the next couple of hours.
I watched the ending probably at least 400 times.
It's the way it goes. So that's it, folks. This week, go out there, check out Alien, check out Tombstone, and above all, Doodan, Those Movie Guys, out.
You know, it's interesting, Dan. You sent me a message and you said, you know, Cody, what's the deal with Pluto?
Yeah.
He said, Cody, I got some news that I didn't know. Pluto's not a planet. And I really need you to explain this to me. And Dan, you know, I think I can explain this to you.
Please. Because, you know, I don't know if you're going to like this, but I was talking to Sarah about Pluto.
What is this? Is this girl like your best friend now, man?
We're BFFs,
Why
man.
Don't you and Sarah have a podcast, the Dan and Sarah podcast?
No, can't
or
do
you're
it.
Probably going to be better about it. You're going to say the Sarah and Dan podcast.
No can do. No can do. What did she say?
What'd she say?
Oh, we're talking about how like how they're changing the social classes, the age groups, baby boomers, and all that.
Yeah, we were talking about context. Last week we had a conversation about Xennials, which Dan has uncovered is a there's some associate professor. They're not even like the head professor. They've decided to relabel a certain group between 77 and 83 as Xennial, which is where they lived with like analog and digital. And then, you know, they were still able to adjust. So they're not considered millennials
now. Right. And then she compared that to like when they brought in that new astrological sign. And then I countered with, or like when they downgraded Pluto.
No.
Like, how do you just downgrade Pluto? I don't get it. What did Pluto do to us?
How do you downgrade Pluto?
Yeah, like,
dude, like, Pluto, do you know how big Pluto is?
No.
First of all,
I don't know shit about Pluto other than it was a planet. It did nothing wrong to us. And now someone said, never mind. They revoked Pluto's planet status. I want answers.
You want answers. Well, you want to know what? They found other bodies out in that, like, out in the Kuiper Belt realm, which is like out where Pluto is, right?
And Pluto's like far as fuck away.
Pluto is so far. It's 40 times farther from the sun than the Earth is.
Damn.
Okay? So that gives you an idea how far it is, okay? Pluto is no longer considered a planet. It's called a dwarf planet. And what that means...
Oh, that's disrespectful.
What? What's disrespectful?
A dwarf planet?
No. No, that's not... That's not disrespectful, man. A dwarf planet is like... It's something that isn't as big as the planet Earth, and a lot of the time... So here are the criteria that makes you a planet.
Are dwarfs people?
Yes.
So why can't a dwarf planet just be a planet?
Because they're not referring to it dwarf as in person. They're referring to it as in dwarf as in small.
Oh.
So let me give you the criteria. What makes something a planet?
Lay it on me. I'm going to stop.
One is in orbit around a star, but is not itself a satellite. A satellite, just so people are aware, is a moon, right? It's a moon orbits a body that of which actually orbits a sun. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. That's the first thing that makes something a planet. Two, there's three things. Has sufficient mass so it's nearly spherical in shape.
Mm-hmm.
So the mass, what makes up that planet, provides it with its curvature because it spins on an axis most cases. And then it also spins around some kind of other big weighty mass, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Has cleared the neighborhood around its orbit. So this part's a little more... Like, if you don't know the terms, you don't know what it is. I didn't fully know what it is. I had to look this up. But what that means is...
It's sort of paved space.
It's paved space, exactly. So when the theory right now is when two galaxies or when a solar system is created, it's fresh and there's all kinds of gook in it, right? There's all this rock, all this mass, all this matter. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is everything's kind of mixing. And what happens is these rocks... These hot rocks, they end up hitting each other. They either stick together or they spit out in another direction towards something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's video games that they've made for your phone that you can kind of play that kind of do this same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is they end up creating and they clear out their pathway in which they run so that they don't have to worry about any other like rocks or other kinds of things hitting it and affecting it, right?
Right.
So those are the three things that make something a planet. So Pluto's a dwarf planet, which means that it is in orbit around a star, which it does, but it is not itself a satellite, so it is not considered a move, but it does or a moon, but it does have an orbit around the sun, right?
Uh-huh.
And it does have sufficient mass that it is nearly spherical, so there is enough weight to it. But what it has not, that a planet does, is it has not cleared its path. So what happens is...
Because it's little, man.
No, it's not little. It's because there's still junk out there that's clearing the space. It's still fresh. It's still new. It's still real.
So once it clears its space... So they're just saying, look, Pluto, your room's a little not tidy, so you can't play with us yet. Is that what they're saying? You got to do your chores first, Pluto?
Well, in a way, kind of, yeah.
It's got to clean up his room before he can come outside and
Pluto
play.
Has something else. Like, the thing is Pluto kind of rotates... itself with another moon that's right next to it. Another dwarf planet. It's called Aries. And it's actually literally, they're just like twins. And they kind of spin around each other. And it's just a matter of time. They'll probably end up crashing into each other. I don't know that for sure. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Over time, these things tend to happen.
So it's just playing with his friend right now and doesn't want to clean up his room.
What?
Mom?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think that's enough to... just revoke its planet status.
You gotta have a standard,
all these
man.
Years.
You gotta have a standard.
How did they not know this back then?
Really? Like, how did they not know this back then?
From before I was born to what? After 18 years of schooling that I went through, Pluto was a planet.
Yeah, it was.
And then
you wanna know what we lacked?
What did we lack?
Information.
And then... So,
how could we... And for a lot of years, and actually I've heard this on Neil deGrasse Tyson's website. On Star Talks. One of the things that they've always had issues with is categorizing things. And they're getting better about standardizing how they categorize these things. Because they're finding new stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Our sample space is our solar system. And we have to go outside of our galaxy. And we're just barely getting to the point where we can actually see... out of our solar system into the other stars that are within our galaxy to be able to get an idea of what else is out there, what is happening, what has created these other solar systems, these other worlds.
I just think, Cody, that there needs to be sort of statute of limitations on what we've done with Pluto.
Like, this is insane. No.
You know how many books we said Pluto was a planet in?
Dan.
Millions. There's a million books out there.
You're right. There are
that say
books.
Pluto's a planet.
There's also a million books out there that say what? That the Earth is flat?
Is it?
Are we gonna? Oh my God! Are we gonna fall?
Down? No, not is it flat? I'm saying is there a million books?
I don't know if there's a million books, but I'm just saying that the mindset was that the Earth was flat for thousands of years, right? Hundreds of years.
Right.
People thought the Earth was flat. But is the Earth flat?
No.
No, it's not. It's round. But what did we have to do? One kid was probably born. And you know what? One day, he grew up 18 years, 25 years of his life, believed the Earth was flat. Science walks in and says, hey, well, you know what? Today, the Earth is actually round. We have proof that it is round. It is a round object in space. And there was a period of time when people thought that the Earth was the center of the universe. Those people were stupid.
So what we can take away from all of this is that it's never too late to right your wrongs.
Absolutely. Be willing to know that, or be willing to change your beliefs when new evidence, real empirical evidence comes forward that proves you wrong. Another example of this is even on the planet Earth. For a lot of years, nobody knew what a tectonic plate was.
Right.
They didn't understand how at one point there's proof that shows that all of the continents were together. They were in one giant continent known as
Pangaea.
That's right. One of them was known as Pangaea. And then what's happened is over the years, and it's changed, and they've come together, and they've broken apart, and they come together, and they've broken apart.
Jason Tectonic came in.
Tectonic plates came into play in the late 1800s. And when the guy that came up with this, because of the continental drift in the ocean, where you can actually see how North America and South America and Africa and Europe actually connect.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that continental drift, which is a divergent zone. And what's happening is magma's coming up from the center, and it's literally spreading the Atlantic Ocean. It's making it wider. It's making it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't believed to be anything at one point. And now it's proof that tectonic plates exist and that this shit's really happening.
Yeah.
So to get back to my point, Dan, there's a reason that we don't see Pluto as a planet anymore, because new evidence has come forward for us to designate it as such different than what it was, my friend. I hope tonight when you go to bed, you look at Jenny in the face and you say what? You say this to Jenny. Cody really showed me the road today.
Cody showed me the road
today. It's like I've been living in the dark my whole life and Pluto was a planet, but Jenny, it's not.
I can see it now. But
there's no buts, man. Dwarf planet for now.
Imagine being that scientist, that doctor, that wrote like a 300-page book about the planet Pluto. What's he got to live on now?
I mean, he's probably a little bitter.
Emotionally,
he's probably a little bitter. But you know what he's not? You know what he's not? He's not arguing with the facts.
Can you go to Pluto? You could go to Pluto, right? You could go to any of these planets.
What do you mean?
Like, how big is Pluto, like, in relation to Earth?
It's the size of the United States. That's how wide it is. Here we go.
So it's basically,
its radius is 736 miles.
Really?
It's that small.
Wow. Let's pretend that, like you could live on Pluto. And, like, you know, I'm trying to imagine like how many houses you could put on that.
Here's a little interesting note for you. Did you know you could take California and wrap it around all of Pluto and there would actually be more California to go around Pluto?
Really?
There is almost 100 more miles in California
than Pluto.
In length, in the radius. Maybe not in full mass, right?
Holy shit.
But that just gives you some like perspective. That's how small Pluto is.
It's very little.
It's very tiny.
But you could have a little colony on there.
No. How could you have a colony? We don't have am I going to say, could you?
Figuratively.
You could if you had the technology to it. You know what? I could fly too if I could grow wings.
Yeah.
But until that technology is available to me, I can't fly off the ground right now.
Right.
We've only, I think we have two probes that have gone past Pluto. Recently, we had one actually go past and they took pictures. And it's within the last 12 months. Where I think it was Voyager 2 or something like that. Ended up flying past Pluto and ended up getting the best pictures we've seen of Pluto. And I don't actually, it's not even Voyager 2. I forgot what it was. It was
Pluto looks cool, man.
Yeah, those pictures are recent that you're looking at, man. Horizon, that's right. New Horizon was the name of the ship that actually was sent out, the New Horizons mission. And it's out past Pluto, and now it's just headed out into space. We have three satellites that are out past Pluto at this point.
It looks so cool.
So it's pretty amazing.
And is it just a rock?
I think they're saying that it's made up of rock and ice right now.
It's just
they don't know. I mean, what it's fully composed of, but yeah,
just rock and ice.
Yeah,
and no life.
No life.
We think,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they basically say that Pluto is thought to be made of mostly ice. It probably also has a small rocky core, which might contain some metals. A lot of the time when a planet is created, like for example with the planet Earth, we have a molten core and an iron core in the middle. Yeah, man, it's like look at that. It fits in a quarter of the United States.
Jesus.
That's how big Pluto is. It's actually like, I honestly think our moon is bigger than Pluto. I almost guarantee it.
To Pluto. I want to go there.
Oh, wow. How big is what is the difference in size? I'm curious. Pluto's diameter is less than 20% that of 20% less than Earth's moon.
It's what?
It's smaller than our moon. It's 20% smaller than our moon.
So California can wrap around the moon too?
Maybe not. I don't know. If you weigh 180 pounds on Earth, you'd weigh 11 pounds on Pluto.
11 pounds?
Yeah, because what allows us to have our weight is the mass of the planet, which helps with gravity, and that's what keeps us in our place. Pluto is 30 to 48 times further from the sun than the Earth, depending on where it is located in its orbit of the sun.
Damn.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. It's basically a giant asteroid that is in orbit of the sun, but it's actually a dwarf planet, so it's not even an asteroid.
Boom.
Anyway.
All right.
Everybody, there you go. Little science from Dan and I.
Sorry, Pluto.
Sorry, man. Enjoy that dwarf planet, though. You're like the king among the dwarf planets, though. So good for you. We salute you. We love you. And we're sorry you're no longer a planet, but you know, you got to be designated what you're designated.
Yeah, you gotta do what you got to do.
Dan. Hello. So,
what's up? Dude. What?
Dude, where'd you get those black Scandinavian beauties?
Dude.
What are those?
Bro.
Where did you get those? Did you get those from like a nun who's running around Italy trying to sell her wares?
Sure didn't.
What? Did you get them from like, I don't know, a really sharp looking dog who looks out in the distance and sees a glowing orb, but also enjoys a good sound in its ears?
A dog? Let me think about... No.
Okay, well, I don't know, man. Where did you get these things? These are insane. What are they?
Studio. Studio headphones, bro.
Studio headphones.
Yeah, man.
What's the story?
Dude, combination, tech, style, class, This is the new podcast headphones, bro.
Scandinavian style.
You know it.
Oh, my God.
Love those Scandinavians.
So where do I get them? How do I get them? What's the story?
Bro, you go to our show notes.
Show notes, okay.
Hit that link.
I love links. I'm going to click it.
Type in the promo code D and K.
You're telling me we have our own promo code?
Oh, we got a promo code,
D and K?
D, A-N-D-K.
And what do I get?
You get 15% off your order, homie.
Oh, my God. It's like dreams have been falling out of my brains onto a plate. Now I'm eating them.
Kaboom. We've been blessed. We're trying to share that blessing.
StudioSweden.com. Check out those headphones. Get them while they're hot.
Bingo. Cody, when is Christmas allowed? Like, when... A lot of places now, we talk about this every now and again, but a lot of places now have jumped the gun with Christmas.
That's how it is, man.
But it's getting more and more.
My wife wants to put up the Christmas tree now.
Now?
Now.
That's just not right.
They want to feel the season. They want to feel in touch with the weather.
It's not yet. It's just not yet. Yeah. Like, I was in Home Depot. And it wasn't even Halloween yet. I was buying pumpkins for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And there was already these blow-up Santa things, these lights. All the trees were set up. There's already lights on buildings.
There are these things. But keep in mind, the only reason that stores do this is because the demand is there.
Yeah.
The demand.
It's because we allow it.
Not even we allow people go out and buy this stuff. Like, oh man, I'm really excited for Christmas this year.
And then is it bad? Is it good? Is this what they meant by keep the spirit of Christmas year round? Like, I love Christmas. When I was a kid, I loved Christmas. I still love Christmas. I love getting into the season. But I have a problem when you go straight from Halloween to Christmas.
When you go straight from Halloween to Christmas.
Yeah. There's a period of time there.
To be honest, it's hard to not put Thanksgiving in there with Christmas because it's so close together.
Yeah. But you're cutting out, you're just cutting fall.
It all moves so fast.
You're skipping straight to it.
Doesn't it all move so fast?
Fucking Thanksgiving's next week.
I know, man.
Jesus.
I know.
My mother's coming.
Is she really?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Wow, man. I'm sorry I'm not going to be there.
No, you guys should come.
We're out of town.
Come on, please.
I'm in Denver.
Please come.
Your mother doesn't want to talk to me.
Please come.
I'd love to talk to your mother.
Oh, God.
I'd like to know the woman that birthed the man.
Have you met her?
I did the podcast with. I don't think I have.
I keep her close to the holster.
You do. You keep her close to your chest. I get that. That's cool.
Nah, she's my mama. I love her, but she's coming.
Good, man. That's exciting.
But you can't allow Christmas to overtake this thing.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask you to please.
How do you stop it?
How do you stop
it? I want to hear your plan. What is Dan Hill's plan to stop the overtaking of Christmas in a Lowe's, in a Home Depot, in a JCPenney?
Distraction. What I'm learning with Mox and raising my child is that if you want her to not do something, you have to replace it with a distraction. So I can't just take a toy away. That'll bring tears. I need to introduce a new toy. I can't just snatch the toothbrush out of her hand. I need to replace that with a block.
So you're saying what you're teaching your child is that if you don't like something or you don't want to do something of something else, mm-hmm. figure out something that'll fill that need.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Big time. With stuff.
Is there any unforeseen consequences with this whole mindset?
Well, I mean, come on. It's like, all right, she doesn't like playing with ducks. She likes to hold her Daisy Duck. I take the Daisy Duck away. She starts sobbing. I got to give her something else.
Why?
Because I'm not dealing with that sobbing.
So you're telling me because you don't want to hear the sobbing.
The doctor told us to do this. You replace Did they? You distract.
Did the doctor really tell you to do this?
Yeah.
Is there a method? Does this have a name?
It was just like, Jenny was like, she doesn't listen. She won't listen. You'd be like, Moxie, no. And she'll still like go for it. But it's like, she doesn't get it. So you gotta like, you have to like offer something else.
Okay.
You can't just say, no oatmeal. You gotta have some carrots.
Well, I mean, you're not feeding your child. I'm not saying that.
Right. But I'm saying I'm gonna take those tactics and I'm gonna bring them to this Christmas overtaking.
So in turn, what you're gonna do is no more Christmas trees. We're gonna start selling fireworks in December.
No,
we need 4th of July.
We need to create the demand for Thanksgiving decorations and accoutrement.
I'm speechless. Like, you know why the reason?
Why don't we have brown and yellow lights?
I'll tell you why right now.
Turkey Day.
Because the time frame between Halloween and Thanksgiving is so short. It's such a short window that people don't want to take the time and energy to do that. That's why they jump right to Christmas.
Because everyone's trying to get ahead of this shit.
It's not even about getting ahead. It's about the fact that what amount of energy do I have to exert to do this for the holiday spirit? Halloween, loads of energy is required to show your Halloween spirit, right?
Yes.
Christmas, loads of energy would be required to show your Christmas spirit. To do Thanksgiving, loads of energy is required to do Thanksgiving. So you do the thing where you realize, I just spent the last 3 months of my life taking a hammer and hitting myself in the face with it because I'm trying to have this spirit across. So people have decided to take preference in Christmas, my friend. To take preference.
No, they're jumping the gun. Even Starbucks, they already got the Christmas cup.
Oh, okay. What have you done for Thanksgiving?
What have I done? We've put away the Halloween shit.
I understand.
And we will be buying the Thanksgiving food. I don't appreciate your laser eyes, Cody.
I'm not saying laser eyes. I'm just saying, like, your solution has no execution.
We need a demand for Thanksgiving. There needs to be more. There needs to be more associated with it.
I disagree, man. I need the breather. Thanksgiving is a breather.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is a holiday breather, man. I'm sorry.
And then these people, they want the tree up tomorrow. And they're going to have it on the freaking side of the road on December 26th.
That's if you're buying a real tree.
What about the 12 days of Christmas after? Like, I like my holiday.
There's a 12 days of Christmas after Christmas?
Yeah. The first day of Christmas is December 25th. Then there's a second day of Christmas. There's a third day of Christmas. The wise men didn't get to Bethlehem for like 4 days.
So you're telling me the wise men didn't show up?
No, they were not there.
Jesus was already born.
They weren't there on the 25th.
They weren't there to see Mary have this child?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Camelback. They had a trek, probably the size of Pluto, over to the old manger.
I don't know, man. Sounds like a scam to me.
If the stories are true.
Yeah, whatever.
But, I mean, I disagree with that, too. See, I like December 1st. That's when you're ready. That's when you're allowed. That's when you're allowed to go Christmas. Wrong. That's the first day I'm allowed. I allow myself. Don't wrong me. Did you just Trump wrong me?
Wrong.
Wrong. Wrong.
Wrong. Anyway.
You're fake news.
Yeah. I was doing some research today, looking for some good things to bring to the table, because you know how I do. And I came across, because I'm Madeline and I might be going to New Zealand in March. It's very likely we're going
might.
To New
Zealand. Might. I thought it was a done deal.
It's pretty much a go, right?
I already got four guests ready.
Yeah, you got four guests. You got it all lined up. So I'm gone for like 2 weeks in March.
You hear that, guys? 2 weeks in March.
Going to New Zealand.
I'm taking offers.
And I came across this article about a psychic who predicted the Trump and Brexit reveals a bleak 2018 warning for New Zealand. So this guy, his name's Craig Hamilton Parker. He's a self-actualized prophet is what he claims to be.
Yeah.
He says he's clairvoyant. He predicted Hillary Clinton would resign from politics in 2017 and said in his blog, 2018 will be a year of political turmoil and an environmental crisis caused by dramatic and unprecedented weather. That's his claim for 2018. And that's his claim for 2018. That's also the claim of every single scientist that is on this planet, by the way.
This guy looks like a cross between Lurch and Gomez.
Yeah, he's a weird Englishman, right? His prediction is that the U.S. He says that a U.S. warship will be sunk, that Prince Harry will make his announcement to be engaged to his girlfriend, like people give a shit. Donald Trump will dodge an impeachment attempt, and a volcano near Naples, Italy, will erupt. Hopefully not Naples, Florida, because I don't know of any volcanoes there.
Yeah.
He also believes a huge chunk of the Antarctic ice sheet is set to break off, which it is. I don't know if that's a prediction or, again, he just read the news.
I predict tomorrow is Thursday.
I predict. That's right. That's right. And that the U.S. will lose trade in the East as China and Russia form a military and economic alliance in response to the North Korea crisis. But not all is bad. He is claiming that Kim Jong-un's grip on North Korea will loosen, believing he'd be overthrown by his people after U.S. forces strike a key trade route.
Hmm.
Anyway, so I looked up this guy.
He's got some pretty easy predictions.
He's got some interesting predictions, right?
Interesting is not a nice word.
He basically says Mount Vesuvius in Naples, Italy, is going to erupt, and they have to evacuate the city of Naples.
What?
Yeah. He said we're also going to see an increase in seismic activity, including places that have been tremor-free for 1,000 years, with one very serious earthquake in New Zealand. Just so everybody knows, New Zealand is considered to be one of the most active locations in the world for seismic activity. And they regularly have huge earthquakes.
Do they really?
They do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Christchurch, which is on the southern island of New Zealand, they get tons of earthquakes. And it's interesting because I was looking at a map, and one of the places I want to go looks like there's like this island that sits out on it, and it's circular and round, and it looks like a volcano that had blown out thousands of years ago. And I'm excited to go check that out.
Wow.
Anyway, he's got tons of predictions. Anyway, so I looked this guy up, and he backpedals on a statement that he makes where he actually says that he states in a YouTube video that some of the things he sees happen further ahead, he sees may happen further in the future.
Huh.
And that timing is really hard. It's really challenging to predict these to be exact.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to make a prediction. There's going to be a giant earthquake in Los Angeles. Frito, calm down. I'm not going to tell you when it's going to happen. Because I don't know, because timing it is really hard. But there will be one. And when it happens, I'm going to be a genius.
Then it will happen. Anyway. This guy is a predictor.
Anyway, this guy's an idiot.
Where
do you stand on psychics? What do you believe? Psychics, tell me about it. What's your belief system here? Have you ever seen a psychic, first of all? That's the first question.
I believe in people very well connected with it's hard to put into words. I believe that there are people out there who are more in tune with the outside world. Does that make any sense?
If I believe the things you said, I would say yes, but since I don't, I think it's horse shit.
Well, like I think that there are folks out there who can not predict the future, but sense danger, happiness, trouble, that sort of thing before other folks.
So like when animals clear a field because they know that there's a fire that's going to start or that lightning's going to strike, you're saying people are capable of that as well.
Yes. And just like a instrument, just like any a tool, like it takes practice to harness it. Like you could get, if you spend a lot of time on it, you could get good at it.
So you're telling me you think you could get good at, like, I get what you're saying. Like, I think there's a level of like human. I think there are things that we don't grasp that we're capable of, like, that we're capable of taking control of. For example, we are much more in tune with our surroundings when we calm ourselves and we listen and feel what's around us versus reacting to everything that's around us.
Like, if you spent 3 hours a day, like, sitting in your bedroom trying to hear a drip of water in your kitchen, at some point, like, you're gonna train your ear to you're gonna put yourself in a space. You're gonna turn off all of the appliances, unplug stuff, and really harness this. And you might be able to train your ear to hear that drip.
So then, with what you're saying, do you feel that people can train themselves to sense the future?
In a way, yeah. Yeah, I do. I really do. And it's like Vegas. It's like, you can be good at poker, but a lot of poker is luck and tells and deciphering body language.
Yes, and all but that lux, sort of lux stuff. And tells and deciphering body language, like tells and deciphering body languages are reading people. Right. That's not being clairvoyant as to I know what the next card is.
But you put it all together. You put the luck, the tells, the strategy, and the hours you've spent like meditating, practicing, all of that stuff. You put it together, and then you have a piece of work, a portfolio of like knowledge. So like, not only if I can sense that you're stressed out, and I can like feel your heartbeat, or I can train my eye to like see sweat from a distance, or like I can read books about like scratching and or hair loss or whatever, then I can somehow sort of sense where you're at socially, or like where you're at mentally, and I can be like, you're having trouble at home. You're gonna have trouble at home. Or something like that. It's a glorified carnival trick. You know, there's people like, yeah, I can tell your birthday.
Yeah, but you know? But to get specifics, you can't.
You can't. That's why you gotta
Being empathetic at the feeling end of the day, the emotions of somebody, like I can walk into a room and know when somebody's stressed. Mm-hmm. I know that. I feel that.
It's an
energy thing. And I get that. That's being in tune with your surroundings. But I don't think that puts you on the level of clairvoyancy. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's even in the realm of what being clairvoyant is. I don't think you can tell the future. Like, if I say, you know, if you look at me right now and you say, tomorrow, Cody, you're going to cross the street and get hit by a truck because you're a little hungry. I can feel you're hungry right now. I can see that happening.
But what if you know? So what if you know that there's 10 bars next week? There's 10 bars next week, and they're all holding happy hour, half price drinks for truck drivers only. I take that knowledge. I attribute it to our session, my psychic session, and I roll the dice, and I say you're gonna get hit by a truck at night after 10 p.m. because the bar closes at 9:30.
Yeah, but what you're doing there is you're playing a statistical game. There, you're not. But that doesn't make you clairvoyant.
But it's
that doesn't allow you to see the future. You're being a computer. You're just making like random numbered predictions. Like this guy here, he's hedging his bets by saying these things are going to happen. I can't exactly tell you when. I think it's going to be this year, but I can't tell you exactly when because it's hard to time things.
So he's even worse than someone who's gathering knowledge, like actual knowledge.
For example, when you take out a loan or something like that, you have somebody that determines the risk of them giving you money. Or, for example, when you go in and you get life insurance, they go in and they say, okay, well, what are the chances of you dying? Well, I take into account your age. I take into account your weight, your height, your heart rate, all that jazz. I take into account your blood sugar levels, all that jazz. I take that all into account. I can determine you're probably going to live to be 70 years old. Here's your rate, right? Like these guys are, that's what they do. But they're not clairvoyant.
No. But if they posed as clairvoyant, They could just guess people's death days.
You're probably right. Like, if they guess that, if you were them and they're like, I need all this information from you, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind.
Yeah, you're going to die when you're 75.
Exactly. It's like, oh,
how do you know that?
Like, it's kind of, and we've said this before, and I said this because I don't like motorcycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I what was the, I forgot what the likelihood of you dying was when you, the minute you sit on a motorcycle. Oh, it's like three times.
It increases dramatically.
Yeah,
it increases super dramatically. But you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just a matter of how you pose at what you pose as, what you say you are. Like, if you're, you know, you say you're a healer, but maybe you're just really, maybe you have a high body temperature and your sense, your touch, you have soft skin, you've really taken care of your skin, and you have a high body temperature, and you, when you touch people, they makes them feel fucking good.
So you're telling me that cures disease?
I don't know.
I do. No, Dan.
Placebo effects have been known to
provide temporary fixes for things. It's not a permanent fix.
It's just
you're the guy that buys into magic water, Dan.
No, but look at
magic water will cure you. Except it's a guy in a hot tub filling up buckets of water and selling them for thousands of dollars.
Look at the chiropractors. There's so much evidence against that. There's so much evidence of that being total bullshit. Just the chiropractic in general.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just cracking, popping air out of your joints.
You know, westernized medicine, doctors will tell you not to go to a chiropractor because they see patients that have been to chiropractors that have been permanently injured because of chiropractors. Yeah.
But some people are like, I love chiropractors. I watched this video with Jenny of this guy who was like fucking bent over like a goddamn, what do you call it? A curl. Cheesy curl.
A cheesy curl?
Yeah.
You mean like a candy cane?
He had the back like a hanger. He was just hunched over like a hook. And they cracked the, like daily, like maybe 10 sessions, they got him standing upright just from resetting and like cracking and popping and blah blah blah. So like, is that placebo? I don't know. Does it work? Maybe.
I don't know if it's placebo, but I'll tell you what.
Does it feel good? Probably.
Not. Like, it's terrible.
When you crack your knuckles, it feels good. If you crack your neck, oh, that feels good.
I don't know, man.
If you got all the joints that are holding air in you cracked.
How did they get air?
What?
How did they get air in them?
The motions.
So you're telling me there's air bubbles within my body?
Well, that's what cracking a knuckle is. It's just air leaving the socket.
That's air?
Yeah.
How did air get there?
It's fucking air, man.
Don't know, man.
I'm telling you.
I bet you're telling me. I just don't know how air got in my knuckles. Because I don't remember when I exposed them to air. And what happens with oxygen when I breathe in air, it goes into my blood system and it's the oxygen that is then absorbed by my blood.
I'm not saying it right. It's fluid that contains the gases, oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon dioxide.
I guess you're right. Your body is filled with gases. That makes sense.
So like, yeah. So it's when you pop or crack a joint, you stretch the joint capsule, gas is rapidly released, which forms bubbles.
Okay, I get it. I wasn't thinking air as gas, but yeah, you're 100% right.
So it's like blah blah blah, and then, but I mean, to relieve that feels fucking good. Feels great. You can move around better. But is it completely bullshit? Who knows? So like, this is a,
I think doctors know, man. I think it's completely bullshit.
But this is a practice that is generally accepted as an option.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
like
society has agreed to buy into it.
Or like acupuncture.
Yeah.
Is that just total bullshit?
I mean, here's my thing. If it makes you feel better because you have continuous pain, more power to you. I would never tell you not to do it. Do I personally buy into it? No.
Yeah.
But if I was in continuous pain and I went there and it made me feel better, I'd probably be like, this is great.
Yeah. But I mean, don't get me wrong. The guy you're talking about is full of baloney.
Yeah. He's an absolute garbage.
And it's just like the freaking... the Golden State Warriors, man.
Yeah, it's like a basketball team.
If you shoot more, you're bound to score more points. It's like this guy makes like 50 predictions, 20 of them are going to be right, 15 of them are going to be right. You make 100, 40 will be right.
People will remember you for the things you got right, not the things you got wrong.
Right. So it's like, what's his name? Don Nelson? That was his mantra. He like changed basketball.
Just shoot more. You're going to make more.
Just shoot all the time. Let's
speed the game up. We'll shoot more.
Yeah. We'll score more points.
Yeah.
It all comes back to sports, guys.
Yep. Again with this. Michael keeps messing with this, man.
It's working. It is working.
I don't know what that means.
I need more. Let's get it. I feel like a caterpillar changing into a butterfly, like a metamorphous warrior. I'm hungry. I'm feisty. Whoa, I'm ready. I'm amped up. Let's go. Let's go.
Yep, that's something. You're a person, okay? Let's get along with it. He's off the rails.
A truck came to work. Not our work, the building over from us.
Okay.
And it was backing up. Boom. Backing up. Bang!
Into your guys' building?
Nope. Into a fire hydrant.
Water crazy.
Everywhere. I wasn't there, but a couple of the guys I work with took video, and it was like, going absolutely insane.
Did they call the fire department?
Fire department had to come. The water was getting everywhere. We were like, holy shit, is this going to...
get into the props.
Yeah, is this going to do something? But then I started thinking and I was like, what happens after that? Like how... Do you have to buy that fire hydrant? And I started thinking like, what are the ramifications? So I started like Googling around and like looking for stuff. And basically... There's an article.
So just before you dive in here, I'm going to give my thoughts here. You think, so I would imagine, let me guess and maybe see if I'm right here on what really happens. I would imagine that the city probably looks at you and goes through an insurance company to pay for a new fire hydrant, right?
Yeah.
If that doesn't work out, the city's got to replace it either way. So the bill is going to be flipped by the city, whether... you have insurance and to pay it or you don't, right?
Yeah, I was like, well, it's state property, city property. So yeah, you got to pay for. I was like, you probably got to pay for that shit, and then you got to pay like some worker,
yeah,
labor,
yeah,
all this stuff. So I found kind of an old article. It's from NASDAQ.com, and it just sort of the title of it is "You Hit It, You Bought It." So this was from. There's a couple states that were pulled, but they've gathered up sort of the general costs of what it costs to hit this sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what I was really interested in. Like, well, how much does a fire hydrant cost? It's a hunk of metal. It's like controlling all this shit.
Absolutely.
So a traffic signal. How much do you think a traffic signal costs to repair? Or like they'll send you
are
a bill
we just
for.
Talking about the light or like the pole and everything that's attached
to this is if you happen to take one down a pole mounted signal in Long Beach, California.
I'm going to go $8,500.
You highballed it. $3,000.
Wow, really? It's that cheap.
$3,000.
Okay.
Yeah. If somehow you manage to snag one of the elaborate traffic signals strung overhead, the Arizona Department of Transportation says the bill could be $80,000 to $100,000.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Parking meter. You screw up a parking meter.
I don't know. $1,200.
$700.
Okay.
That's in Long Beach. A guardrail. You screw up a guardrail.
The metal stuff on the side of the road, like if I hit it, I don't know. I'm going to say $500. How much space are we talking?
I don't know. It says the guardrail itself, it's only $50. But equipment and labor bring the cost up. For like a basic non-engineered guardrail replacement in the city of Concord, California, the cost includes a city worker billed at $89 an hour.
And it probably takes them all fucking day long. So it's $1,000.
Right. So they're saying it's $889. Streetlight. What do you think?
Streetlight. I thought I already answered that.
No. It's $3,000. That was a stoplight.
Streetlight.
Like a street lamp.
Oh, a street lamp.
Yeah.
The new LED ones? I don't know.
Standard 20-foot pole.
Standard 20-foot pole. I'd probably say it's probably around $3,000.
$5,342.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, man.
This is interesting.
Stop sign?
Stop sign, $800.
$500.
$500, okay.
Fire hydrant. This is in Contra Costa Water District in Northern California.
Okay.
Fire hydrant's $1,000. You bust one of those. Chain link fence? $100.
Yeah, I didn't think it'd be too expensive.
Yeah. Concrete barrier, $400. A mailbox, $750. Roadside signs, $266.
Wow.
Those orange barrels?
Yeah.
Guess how much?
I don't know. $600?
$86.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
Orange barrels,
hit
guys.
Those barrels, man. But I feel like there's no real rhyme or reason. Someone's just like, yeah.
That's the plastic. I think, you know, you still have to manufacture this stuff.
Right. And then and I was thinking, like, how much fucking water? Like, if you hit one of those things and it's like, and it's going,
yeah.
How much water gets wasted? And this article says, the most water lost in a single incident happened on April 14th, 2014, on Madonna Road, where an estimated 180,000 gallons of water was lost.
180,000 gallons. What's the equivalent of 180,000 gallons?
I can't even like fathom that. By comparison, the entire city used more than 133 million gallons of water.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is insane, and they'll send you a bill for that too. So you hit the hydrant, and then they ding you for all the water that gushed up.
Well, it makes sense.
It
right?
makes a lot of sense. Yeah, but then your insurance company, like, yeah, you like, because like you damaged property, you can go through your insurance, but like you'll max out your
plan.
Yeah.
If you have a regular plan, you'll max it out.
Yeah. So like you almost want to just hit another car and not a freaking.
Totally do it, man. Just pay that deductible. Get yeah. on with your life. Yeah. Get so on. What? Your premiums go up. Who cares, man? You're a rebel. You do crazy things. You hit fire hydrants. Do
yeah,
it.
You hit it, man.
I hope somebody's listening to that where they're driving and they like zoned out the whole podcast and they just get to that moment. They're like, I am a rebel. Yeah. I do want to hit a fire hydrant. Just
bust
well, who cares, man?
Listen to this. For the crashes that happened between January 2014 and July 2015, the cost to repair the hydrants and pay for the lost water varied from $106 to a stunning $7,633.
Wow. That's crazy.
And they're billing you now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
They will send you a bill.
I don't want to pay that on to Joe Taxpayer.
Because, like, I don't know about you, but when I pass those things and they're, like, gushing, I've only seen it a couple of times, but every time I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. Like, I don't think I don't think about the end. Like, who hit it? How is this getting resolved? And yeah. what's the damage?
It's true.
What are you going to get charged?
Yep.
So that's just a little.
That's a nice little food for thought. I like that, Dan. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I like to know things I don't know.
It's no problem. No problem.
You know, honestly, that kind of leads me into this week's
true crime.
So it's a real quick one. I got a couple. I'm gonna throw two because
some variety. We'll do a poll.
There's a little variety. We've got two here. So this is from Sky News, which is in the UK.
Yep.
Okay. And this actually took place in Japan. So the headline reads: Stray cat identified as prime suspect in elderly woman's attempted murder.
Get out. What in the shit?
Mayuko Matsumoto, 82, is left unable to speak after apparently being set upon by a stray cat in her home in southern Japan. Now,
what?
Apparently, this is a really short article, so I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
Because I guess they're still getting the information in as this article.
Oh, this is developing. It's a developing news story.
So apparently the stray cat has been identified as the attempted murderer of this elderly woman who was found bleeding profusely in her home. Mayuko Matsumoto, 82, was found with her daughter, found by her daughter with about 20 cuts to her face at her home in Mifune, southern Japan. Police launched an attempted murder investigation after seeing her wounds.
What?
Some of them severe, according to broadcaster RKK, which I guess was the broadcaster there in Japan. Her daughter told RKK, "We found her. Blood covered everything above her chin. Her face was soaked in blood. I didn't know what happened." Miss Matsumoto, who was bedridden and reportedly unable to speak about the attack, had to receive emergency care, Kyoto News reported. Investigators found no sign of forced entry into the house, but suspected the elderly woman's wounds had been caused by a cat, NTV Network said. Police found traces of what could be human blood on their number one suspect, a stray cat, found around Mrs. Matsumoto's home, according to Nishinopan Shimbun newspaper.
Wow.
Tests are being carried out on a sample of the blood. So hopefully they find this killer.
Kitty killer.
Kitty killer. That's my true crime number one.
But wait, so this cat was just attacking her, basically, essentially.
To be honest, I don't know if you can ever tell what the intent of a cat.
What I'm thinking is the cat thought she was dead and wanted to just like
eat her. I think when you get to a certain age, you probably start to smell and
they'll eat you.
Animals know when you're going to die. That's their clairvoyant skill.
Yeah.
They know when you're close to death.
It's like that movie, what was it? Gerald's Game on Netflix.
Haven't seen it.
Boy, you don't want to see it.
Check that out.
All right, next one.
Next one. Here we go. Title. You ready? Headline. This is in Australia. Posted 11 hours ago.
Let's do it.
Headline. Man killed in wood chipper accident.
Yes!
That's right. That's right. So this is off Fox News. This is where I'm getting my source here. So apparently an Australian man died after accidentally falling through a wood chipper in a scene that police are calling absolutely shocking. The 54-year-old man, who was not identified, was clearing the driveway of a home with two friends in Gympie, north of Brisbane, on Sunday. "It's a horrendous thing to have to attend as a police officer, any sudden death, but these circumstances were absolutely shocking," police acting inspector Paul Algie told ABC. A police inspector said that the three were doing a favor for the lady that owns the property, according to Channel 9. They're understandably extremely distressed over what occurred, Algie said. The scene was so gruesome, support services were offered to first responders and those investigating the incident. So it was so bloody and so gross, so many guts, there's probably a head, maybe a head in multiple pieces, that they said, you know what, we're going to bring in counselors to the scene to help you guys through this.
Oh my God.
Police are investigating the death as an accident and would not say whether the man was using the wood chipper properly. None of the men were contractors. So it sounds like a bunch of amateur guys got a wood chipper, and one of them was playing some kind of game and slipped and fell in.
How do you accidentally get into this wood chipper?
Honestly, my theory, with no real evidence, this is what I believe happened. The 54-year-old man was challenged by his friends in a crump-off contest. The man said he told the men that he could crump. The men said, "No, you can't crump." And he said, "Bullshit, I'll show you I can crump.
I can crump."
There was no stage around. The closest thing to a stage was the wood chipper that he could stand on. He was crumping, but a 54-year-old man doesn't have the balance that a younger man has. Slipped,
right.
Fell in the wood chipper. The men were completely blown away.
For those of you,
that is my theory.
It's an interesting theory.
What's yours?
My theory is straight up murder.
Okay, you think somebody pushed this guy in, huh?
Yeah, somebody held this motherfucker in.
You think to get maybe this woman's? Why would you kill this guy?
Because I'm not familiar with wood chippers per se, but I'm looking at images of a wood chipper, and there's no way that you could. I mean, depending on the size of this thing. There's no way to accidentally go in it.
No way.
It's either deliberate or forced entry.
Yeah, you kind of have to slip it. Yeah, but if you're crumping, you're moving at such an intense speed and rate that like you can kind of slip in things that you normally wouldn't. Like
your energy. It's just... Ugh.
I will have to say, you know...
If it's a big one, maybe he was standing. If it's a big one, maybe he was standing on the edge and like helping feed...
Maybe.
The tree and then... Whoop,
maybe. Yeah, definitely. Maybe.
Dude, what if you were on the other end of that wood chipper and you just got...
blasted with guts. Yep. You were gut blasted.
And it'd be like little chunks of bone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
best
man.
Best way to go out. Crumping your way out.
I'm going to make that a poll.
So when are you going to do that, Dan? When's that poll available? Thursday?
The poll's going to be available Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday poll.
When we release it.
So check out, after you listen to this, go on. Dan's going to have the poll on Instagram stories. Dan and Cody.
You tell us, and Twitter, you tell us what was the
true crime of the week?
Which true crime wins, yeah.
Was it the murderous serial murdering cat, or was it the crumping man that fell into the wood chipper?
Johnny Woodchip,
that's right. Anyway, so that was this week's true crime. So Dan, after we've heard all of that, I mean, what do you got, man?
We got to counteract that with some goodness.
What's goodness? What's good in the world? Are you telling me that this is time for our champion of the week?
The champion of the week. Yeah.
I got to give it up to a guy in Santa Rosa, California.
Santa Rosa, California. The beautiful Santa Rosa, California.
He's dealing with these fires. His name is Dr. Will Witt. I'm sorry, Dr. Scott Witt.
Dr. Scott Witt.
He's a man of the people. Here's the headline. Doctor speeds down burning highway on motorcycle at 2 a.m. to evacuate not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, eight preemies from the NICU.
Evacuate them?
Yeah.
Isn't that where they, aren't they in the NICU to survive?
Yes, but not.
Is there a dangerous, murderous cat on the loose?
No, the area was completely engulfed in flames.
Oh, because of the fire?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
This doctor zipped over there. Yeah. Where were these people's parents?
They were probably there. They needed help.
So what is the doctor on a motorcycle going to do?
All right.
Tell me the story.
He was at home one night, and he received a shocking phone call, one that led him straight to his trusty motorcycle.
Very nice.
He's quoted as saying, "I got a call at 2 a.m. basically saying that there was some fire encroaching on the hospital, so we might have to evacuate." It was the wildfire, and the doctor told his family, he was like, leave the home. But instead of him joining their escape, he decided to go and help with the evacuation at the hospital and straight towards the flames. He was going to hop in his truck, but, you know, the roads, those damn roads. So he's quoted as saying, "I left my truck, but couldn't get very far because of the freeway."
Okay.
At the time, there were flames going across it, he said. So he turned to his motorcycle, hopped on his motorcycle,
and drove through the flames like a badass out of hell.
Yeah, drove through these fucking flames. He blazed through 4 miles between his home and the hospital. He worked in braving strong winds and burning debris and packed traffic. And when he made it to the hospital, he and his team prepped 8 NICU babies for evacuation. So wow. I'm sure they needed to stay like hooked up to.
Absolutely.
Hooked up to machines and all this stuff. The babies were loaded into ambulances and moved to another hospital. And he left. He was right behind him in his motorcycle. And this guy's a fucking hero, man.
He sounds amazing.
He's a hero.
He sounds like our champion of the week.
Yeah. Now, if you don't think this guy looks at himself in the mirror 3 times a day, and tells himself that he is a hero.
Or a champion of sorts, if you would.
You'd be silly to think he doesn't do that. Hmm. There's good people out there, man.
A lot of good people out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is that's pretty awesome.
Could you imagine just driving down the middle of the highway?
All the time.
With like...
flames. He's 35 times more likely to get in a car accident.
Yeah.
Being on a motorcycle.
And
then he is in a car. And I imagine those chances increase as he's driving through flames.
Yep. And he doesn't even look... You don't have to look like a champion.
Are you sure he's not some kind of hunk doctor?
Look at these fucking flames, man.
Is he on a motorcycle? Oh, no. Dr. Scott Witt.
That's Scott Witt.
He looks like my dentist.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good guy.
You don't got to look like Dwayne Johnson.
Well, I'm super happy he was able to go help out and save those kids. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for being our champion, Dr. Scott Witt.
Scott Witt, you are the man.
Yeah.
And if you see danger or trouble, go straight to it and help.
Absolutely.
Maybe don't go straight to it. Maybe go around it.
Be cautious.
Survey.
Yeah, take the best route.
Yeah, take the best route.
Take the best route. Drive into flames. That's crazy.
And if that best route is maybe not going in, then, you know, don't.
Don't, yeah. Anyway.
Leave that sort of stuff to Scott Witt. Real quick, want to thank a couple of our Patreon supporters, Rhett and Tony. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We appreciate the support.
We love you, and we're going to crank out some more exclusive stuff for you each and every week. If you want to support us, you're going to get some bonus shit. We're going to give it to you. We're going to give it to you raw.
I would have chosen different words, but we'll let Dan have those.
We love you.
We love you. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. And remember, you're never alone in the dark when you're alone with somebody else.
Perfect.
Think about it.
Think about it. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. And you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/dancodypodcast.
Subscribe, bitch.
Hey, everybody, play the tough guy to shoot.
Is this Return of the Mac?
Watch me now.
Return of the Mac.
You're loads of money.
What I do?
All those things she said that I love you. You're loads of money. Yes, I try. You're loads of money.